We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that's where we actually started last week and only got in about the first verse, really, and so didn't do too much with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just to kind of give you an idea, it's where you're beginning to look at some instruction the Holy Spirit has given the Apostle Paul, in this case, to write. And so this instructions to the local church are warning them. Really, you look at this chapter, I mean, a lot of great things in that chapter, but there's also some things in there that should serve as a warning. As a matter of fact, throughout the New Testament, as you see those things are written, every New Testament book, every word was breathed out by God for writers to write down. So, and those writers had to be holy men. They couldn't just be anybody. They had to be a holy person. And so they wrote them down, and it was helping, but when you get through 1 Corinthians here, chapter 3, you're seeing some things here that when you read about the seven churches in Revelation, obviously these things were let go. And so they really, seven churches crashed, so to speak, exist no longer. And today there are churches across America that were one time great churches, auditoriums filled with hundreds and some with thousands, and now they're just buildings. In some cases, they're being used to house the homeless and things like that, but they're not any soul-winning or Bible-preaching entity at all. And so when you see things like that, you realize it can happen anywhere. It could even happen here. So we always need to be aware. I want to just read a quote here from Martin Luther. Now, if Martin Luther were alive today, if he was a fundamental independent Baptist, I'd go hear him, but not the way he was back then, because in all the good things he did, there were some things that were really doctrinally in left field, but we won't cover those things today. But he did say this, and I think it was a good thing. If I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking. If so, he's saying, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Wherever Satan's attacking, there's the loyalty proved. Is he really a loyal soldier of the cross? And to be steady in all the battlefields besides the very fight at which Satan attacks, then our flight and disgrace shows and flinches at that point. We flinch, we quit, we give up at that point. You want to see the churches we've mentioned, the different ones, the Tennessee temples and the things which when the men of God that were there and they died off, then boy, they took that those churches another way, and they don't exist anymore today. Thousands of people brought to the Lord through those churches and missions are worldwide, and now they're gone. Because men, when the society says, hey, this is what the churches do now, this is what we do now, get rid of those standards, get rid of this, get rid of that, do this. Those churches no longer were soul-winning places. They were no longer doing the things for missions. And every church is only a generation from extinction. If men of God don't stand up and preach the truth as it is to men as they are. Yeah, but boy, some people get mad and some people leave. Yeah, but when they get mad and then they leave, they'll leave. And eventually, if they don't get it turned around and get it right with God, they'll see things happen in their life that will be the judgment hand of God. And some of them will even have a tendency to go back and say, well, it was that church's fault. It was that preacher's fault. It was that Sunday school teacher's fault. No, your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. And your obedience to Jesus Christ is between you and Jesus Christ. If you're one of His, you obey. If you're one of His, you love it when the Word of God is preached. When you're one of His, you love it if there's a preacher, an evangelist, or a teacher, or whatever, that is telling you what the Word of God says on any issues of morals or any other thing. And when they don't agree with that and they get mad and upset, they're turning not on God as much as they are turning on themselves, because then God takes His hand off. So understand. These things that are in God's Word are for our benefit. The Lord doesn't want us to fail. And so, having said all of that, and having seen Henry and Teresa Radford, I can get going with the message now, okay? Over there, good people in our church here many years ago, so I appreciate them and getting to see them today. All right, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll begin looking at verse 1 again. Father, I pray that as we go through this message, I pray Thy Holy Spirit would do the part that I can't do, Lord, is speak to the heart and open the understanding of each heart and mind. So, Lord, I pray that You would do that, especially in this service, in Jesus' name. For Christ's sake, I pray it. Amen. Looking at verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now think of getting a letter from the Apostle Paul, and these are his first words that you hear, and it's a church. And they would normally read these words in the church. So can you imagine the response of the audience when those are the first words they hear in this letter? There's a difference between spiritual understanding and intellect. That is the intellect of this world. The intellect and understanding of this world. There's a great difference between that and spiritual understanding and spiritual intellect. And if you don't stay daily in the Word of God, and you don't meditate in the Word of God, you don't seek how to live by the Word of God, you are not in the intellect of the Word of God. You've heard some teacher say something that's crazy and out of the left field, and you say, oh, that sounds good, it makes me feel good, and all of a sudden they're on that, oh yeah, that's what I believe. And it came from somebody like that instead of from the Lord. And because you're not walking with God, the Holy Spirit can't break that stone wall that you've built against God, because you don't want to hear it. And so that's what happens with so many Christians. And I hope that's not with anybody in here. I hope you're listening to the Lord. I hope you're walking with God daily. I hope that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that you're growing into the intellect of God that He wants for you to have, that understanding that He wants you to have. But many Christians lack in spiritual intellect and understanding than they do of that of the world's intellect and understanding. And so many seem ashamed of the holy today. You know, that's one of the things I've guessed in growing up in the fundamental churches from when I was just a little guy. Growing up, I can remember my dad being in church there. He was one of the members there. And our preacher, his name was Alan Wilkes. Brother Alan would preach there up in Ohio. And it was just a bunch of us in there. And what we have here, I mean, this would have been a great crowd for us at that time. But I remember that they did preach that way. They're right down the line. They preached the Word. And that's what I grew up in, and yet it was built on preach the Word. It was built in Sunday school, teach the Word. And you see, that is important. That is the food. That is the foundation for God's house and for God's people. Too many seem today to be ashamed of the holy. And when Christians are ashamed of that which is holy, that is a slap in the face of God. Verse 2 says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." In other words, he's saying, yeah, I can still give you milk, but you're not mature enough. You're like the little baby that's just months old that can take milk but cannot eat meat now. Well, you can't take in the meat of God's word, he's saying to these people. And not meat, for neither were ye not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So they're not able yet to take the meat of God's word. And when these people say, well, you know, you preached just a little bit too deep, or you got a little bit too deep into that lesson, you got a little bit too deep into this, be thankful. One thing we do here is, at least from the pulpit, these sermons are recorded. So you can go back and feel like something was a little too deep. You can go back and listen to it again and ask God to help you understand it better. Ask the Holy Spirit to work. He wants to. He wants you to understand the word. He wants you to understand the standards. Why there are standards. Why the church should be holy. He wants you to understand that. That makes the relationship with Christ much stronger. And when you start growing in holiness and righteousness, when you start growing in good, holy standards from God's word, instead of giving into the world, when you start growing that way, then your prayer life becomes much more effective. As one lady told me one time, well, if that happens, I'd call on you to pray. And I said, well, the Lord didn't make me the parent of your children. He made you. And you need to have those things. He wants to hear your prayer, but you've got to be right with God. You're going to pray for your children. So it's important that your walk with God is a daily walk with God. Now, the thing to ask each of us, we each need to ask ourselves is, where am I spiritually? Does doctrine and the thick, deep things of God, are those things that bore you? Is Sunday school and other services as Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday school, do they bore you? I'm not going to go to all of that. And that just says, spiritually, as a Christian, you're just like he says here in this verse or two here. You're still a babe in Christ. You still need to be on milk. You can't take the meat of God's word. If you can't go where God wants you to be, instead, you're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together because, well, I want to sleep in, or, hey, there's a ball game coming up, or, hey, there's this going on. And we get that attitude. You can get mad at me and get mad at anybody, but understand, God's saying, you're a baby. And you're just so weak as a Christian. Well, I don't believe him. Okay, you don't believe God. Guess what? If you're saved one day, you'll wish you had. You'll wish you had when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians will stand that one day. So, where are you in your spiritual life? Look at verse 2 again. For it reveals where you are spiritually with this world going so woke. And we have a country that seems like it's near civil war. And just free have at it. Killings. Mockings of people till they drive them to suicide. But just on down the line. All through this country. It's not peace. It's not right. It just grows more that way. You see it in the schools, the public schools. And I'm starting to hear even some Christian schools are going that way. And it's time to learn more about God's word and how to endure in this depraved of morals, of wisdom, and true godly love. Depraved of all of those things. And there is a great need. A great need. for parents, for grandparents, to learn more of the wisdom of God's Word. And I'll say this without apology, whatever, so don't come up and ask me to apologize afterwards. But dads, you're the head of the home. You determine the standards of that home. You determine where your family goes to church. You determine just the Bible. You determine it all in your family. What are the standards? And if you don't take that stand, that's on you. And all heaven will see that when you're to the judgment seat of Christ, how you failed as a dad. Because you were afraid to stand. Maybe you might be afraid of a wife. I don't know. Maybe you might be afraid of what the kids will think of you. I don't know. But my friend, God holds you responsible. And when you see those kids at that judgment seat, if they're saved, and boy, their lives were ruined, there's loss of reward and everything else, realize that there's eyes that'll be looking at you as well. Where do you stand? Because I can't tell you where you stand, but God knows where you stand, and you know where you stand because your relationship with Him is supposed to be personal. And so, we parents and grandparents, we don't get it right. We may end up seeing those children and grandchildren in hell. We might see our country die in our eyes that we thought would never happen. Yes, we have a country that's so sexually perverted that it won't necessarily need to take armies. It'll just be STDs going everywhere around this country. And everywhere you are, just STDs. Because the morals of this country have long been gone. Yes, there could be murder by just cold-blooded murder. A murderous society. You watch the same news networks or the same emails or whatever you get that have told us the same thing. People commit murder, rape, and other things of that nature. What do? They release them from jail. In many places, there's not even a bond. That's our country. And we as Christians need to stand against that. And I'm not talking as much about political. I think you should vote for people that are politically would stand against those things. But we need to have churches and Christians that will stand and preach against those things. And take the stand that we ought to take and decide we're going to win this country back to God. Do our best. Hope the Lord will use us and that something could be done in the society, in the homes, and in the churches. Because this country, these churches, have so lacked the Word of God. The Word of God. This has grown to this level. Why? Well, it goes back to a very dishonest, a very super evil, depraved, intellectually demented Supreme Court who years ago threw God and the Bible out of the schools. Oh, we need it. We need to do that. It's hindering everything. And it was. It was hindering them. It was hindering school shootings. It was hindering from people trying to burn down buildings. Instead, it brought up I was in public school. I grew up in public school. And when science teachers were teaching evolution, you said something against it, the science teacher didn't stop it. Why? Well, if they believed in evolution, at least they weren't so weak-kneed and jello backbones that they would say, no, you can't say that in this class. You see, the ones that knew that they didn't have a good argument would say things against it. No, you can't bring that up. Why? They didn't want the truth. But at least back then, they'd let you say and see, bring out your part why you believe. They can't do that today. So what happens? Well, you look what the situation is in public schooling across this country. You have shootings. You can expect worse. And I'm not doing this on a parties, whether it's Republican or Democrat. I'm not doing it on that. But I'm saying it this way because it's truth. When you have a president that casts God out of the White House at Easter, the God that we worship who died on the cross, was buried and rose from the dead, when you have a president that does that, doesn't want his name around it, doesn't want anything written about him, nothing about him around the White House. The God who died for us, he wants to splash his name with mud. The one that rose again that would even save that man, that president, would even save him if he had turned to him in repentance and faith. And if America doesn't wake up, especially its Christian churches, who were true to the word and preached the word at one time, but now are turning to psychology and rock and roll and whatever else of entertainment in order to be able to say, hey, we enjoy church again. If that's what you're looking to give you enjoyment, go to the nightclubs. Because they're not going to have any less God those churches are having. Making the churches and its people, especially its young people, relevant to this world is not the plan of God. It goes against, that is like spitting in the face of God. Now, it's time for us to say we're going to stand up and be Christian men, we're going to be Christian women, or you're going to be one that is a weak-kneed, yellow-bellied, whatever, that you won't stand up for Jesus because he's not that important in your life. Unless one of your kids are sick and dying in the hospital, then you're going to try to get serious about God, and then it's going to be too late. Then you're going to blame God for the death or whatever else of your child when it was your own life and when it was your own leading, when it was in your own way. Yes, this world is in depravity in the deepest way that perhaps any man could know. I think at times we're making this country. I'm a citizen of this country, so I can say this. I believe at times this country makes Sodom and Gomorrah blush. And my friend, it's time for us to just say, we're going to take a stand. It doesn't matter what people say or what people do, it doesn't matter if it costs me my job. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. And stand up for Jesus. There's too many people going to hell for us to say, well, I don't want to be bothered with it. When I think this country was so prevalent in sending men and women across the oceans, they went into different places. It might have been down in South America, Brazil, and some of those areas around there, over into Africa, in some of the places there, sometimes further into Japan. It might have been various places all across this globe where Christians were paying. They were going at the cost, perhaps, of their very life. But they went. Even now, there's several places. Just several places in Africa right now we can tell you about that they can catch a Christian, they'll kill them. Guess what? In those places, we have young ladies, independent Baptist, fundamental missionaries, who are going into those places with the opportunity to come back to America, get away from that. And you know what their answer is? God didn't call me to come back to America. He called me here. They're in those places where they could be put to death, and then here you have Christians here that are afraid somebody will find out they're a Christian. There are kids that go to public schools and other schools, and they don't tell about their church because they say something about their church. Oh, you go to church? Oh, no, not really. My parents make me. Then get on your knees and praise God for that parent. But it is time for something to happen. This is what the Lord is telling Christians here, because these things will happen. That those seven churches go out of existence because they were filled with people who were not filled with Jesus Christ, who were not filled with the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And they went other directions. And so, yes, we have a government that seems dead set on stopping the Bible and a Christian witness. And isn't that interesting? The very first U.S. Congress, the very first U.S. Congress established having Bibles. The Congress provided Bibles for the public schools of the day. The very first Congress. A Bible in each class. And guess what? It brought not only many people to the Lord, it brought, and these are people, but brought many Indians that had never heard the Word of God, that got trained, brought them to the Savior. And as you go on, that's what happens when you use the Word of God. And you stick close to it, you stick true to it. And you see, you go into a society and their lives are different. They're a different culture. But because they're a different culture, doesn't mean you can't win them to Christ and help them to know Christ. Americans, when they first started saying, well, if we're going to integrate, we're going to do these things, we've got to teach them how to be civilized. You know what they're saying? We're trying to teach them to make their culture white. And I'm not talking about a white and black thing now. I'm just talking about what people do when they go into new places. You know, when I went to Arizona, went down there and started knocking on doors, meeting people. I was saying, honey, we're in a foreign country. I mean, these people are different. I knocked on a door, on door-to-door visitation one day. I said, ma'am, my name's Andy Bloom. I'm here in Tucson, Arizona, and we've rented a church here down the road, a public school. We rented their auditorium for on Sundays. And we'd like to invite you to come on down to our church. Now, I said it with a distinct southern accent, purposely. You know what? When I did that on one house, I started to say, my name's Andy Bloom. I'm from Central Baptist Church. Then it was Community Baptist. And we were going to associate that with the community. So from Community Baptist, and all of a sudden this lady said, praise God! And, you know, and I'm saying, what's going on? She says, finally, somebody out in Arizona that knows how to talk. So that's the way it came off. But hey, listen, it was good. I think we did get her to visit a time or two, and that was about it. But we got some others, and some others got saved out there. A lot of Hispanics. Okay. Hispanic has a different culture. Why? Because that's the way they're good. The culture's not wrong, so to speak, as being a culture. But sin is sin in any culture. If a person lives separated from sin, it's not because they're white, not because they're black, not because they're Hispanic. It's because they belong to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and they want to serve Him and they're not embarrassed to be associated with His name. And that's what you got to decide. Is that the kind of Christian I want to be, or do I want to be those that are scared to death of the world and not so scared of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And so, yes, we're looking at a world today that seems more uncivilized, especially in our own country, than it's ever been in the past. But people can still be brought to Christ. You know, it's not the medical care that is most needed in this country, it's still Jesus Christ. Medical care is still good. I mean, yeah, I like to see improvements in it. But nonetheless, the greatest improvement this country needs is Jesus Christ. Missionaries went over into the darkest areas of the world, and I'm not talking about skin color, I'm talking about sin. Taught them how to plant food, taught them cleanliness, some medical things, but more importantly, they taught them Jesus Christ. Many of them got saved. And some of those that came from such backgrounds have come to America. And right now, I think more than any nation in the world, America needs missionaries. America needs missionaries. Now, we talked about responsibility, your personal responsibility, but so let me just throw this out to you real quickly. Personal responsibility also includes parents. Are you saved? Young people, are you saved? Do you know if you died today that heaven's your home? Oh, yeah, I said this prayer one time, and they told me I'm going to heaven. You know, I talked to a lady on a jet one day, and after she read the God's Plan of Salvation booklet, and she said, that's it. Why? Because they told her at a camp, she said this prayer, she's going to heaven. And she knew she wasn't, and she got saved there on the airplane. Now, you think about that. People, because they thought saying this prayer, and there's nothing wrong with the prayer, it's just the fact that it's like this. These are the magic words that get you to heaven. If you'll say these words, you're going to heaven. No, you're giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Are you willing to admit you're a sinner, you need a Savior, and for Him to save your soul, or do you want to just go on in life and wait till you die to go to hell? That's up to you. You'd say, preacher, that's too hard. That's too hitting it too hard. No, that's telling you the truth. If I had cancer and went into a doctor, and he didn't tell me I had cancer because he didn't want to hit me too hard. He didn't want me to feel bad about being that. You've got about 6 months to live, and oh, he shouldn't have said that to me. Now I feel bad. Hey, Christian, if a doctor tells you you've just got 6 months to live, praise God, you're going to see the face of Jesus in 6 months. And you might want to say, doctor, can you hurry that up at all? So, do you know if you die today that heaven's your home? If not, today is the day. You can be saved. Let's bow our heads.